you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
Hey, everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She's grown up as the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, celebrating 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, where this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 21-year-old Sophia Temporelli discusses all the latest hot topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And today is no exception, but congratulations, Sophia, for over 8 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. We hope everyone is keeping safe out there. Prayers of comfort, healing, and warmth for Rob Sirk, the site founder of Live Paranormal. He dislocated some tendons in his knee. And Nicole, she's running Live Paranormal right now. So if you have any questions about hosting here on Live Paranormal, paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends, if you want to be a part of the LP family, feel free to contact Rob or Nicole. And as well, support the memberships here. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of books by some of your favorite paranormal authors autographed, and a lot of things. He's great at rewarding you guys on the membership pages. Upcoming, we have Travel Channel Strange World Series host investigator Christopher Garitano returning to the program next weekend, the 25th, Also, too, Detroit Paranormal Expeditions founder Todd Bonner returns to the program on May 30th. We have other people that are securing their dates currently, too, as well, that are going to be on the broadcast. So you don't want to miss any of the upcoming shows. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com, Facebook fan page, to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We're moving along here. I'm going to bring on the ghost host here, Sophia. I'm unmuting you right now. It's a little bit of a lag. There we go. Congratulations, Sophia. 8 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 8 years.
I know. You're doing a great job. You've helped a lot of people over the years here. And we're doing a special YouTube in-studio that's going to be composed throughout the week, so we'll be releasing that shortly. So where can people find you? What are the other pages you have?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L and Instagram at Sophia Temporelli.
All right, tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
First, I want to thank Skinwalker Ranch owner Brandon Fugel for personally facilitating today's interview request and to the History Network for making today's show possible. Today, we welcome History Network's The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch featured host, investigator, astrophysicist, aerospace engineer, optical scientist, science fiction author, Dr. Travis Taylor. Everyone visit Twitter at History at Travis S. Taylor 1, sci-fi books, Bane, BAEN.com. Let's bring Dr. Taylor into the show.
Okay,
hello.
Dr. Taylor, we have you unmuted. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for
having me.
Thank
you. Well, first off, thank you so much for coming on, and congratulations on the success of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's been a lot of people are watching it because I think it's a very interesting topic that people have been thinking about for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about Skinwalker Ranch for many years, and it's great that, you know, people are diving more in depth into trying to figure out what is actually going on there.
Yeah, so, you know, people have been looking into it and investigating it, but the thing about it is none of the information has ever been released to the public, and so they might as well not have done it at all. What we're doing, everybody's getting to see.
Yeah, it's very cool that you're able to document it in this manner. And, you know, I know you have such an extensive background in the science field. Can you tell us what initially, you know, kind of started you in the field of science and how you became an astrophysicist?
Oh, wow. Well, I've always been interested in adventure and science and so on. In the third grade, back in the 70s, a long time ago, I'm really old, we took this test. It was for fun, and it was supposed to give us our top three choices of what our job would be when we grew up. And my top three choices were scientist, astronaut, and superhero. And I decided back then that I was going to be all three of those one day.
Well, you definitely are making such, you know, great leaps in the scientific field with your work on Skinwalker Ranch, because it is such an anomaly and has been recorded for so many years, since the 1700s, of activity there. What is it like for you, you know, starting as, you know, having this interest in third grade, to being able to kind of show off all your hard work on national TV?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never really thought I would be studying what some people call paranormal or whatever. I've always studied, you know, scientific, aerospace, military, defense-type concepts my whole career. However, when things look like they should be taken seriously, I always take them seriously and follow the scientific method to do so. And ever since I was about 10 years old, my dad gave me a copy of Chariots of the God by Eric von Daniken, and I realized that nobody is looking at everything from a scientific standpoint of view. So a lot of times we just accept that things are what they are because some scientists told us to think that way. And Skinwalker Ranch, when I first went out there and I heard all the stories, I thought, okay, these people are nuts, crazy, lying, or being duped. And, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to get out there and there's going to be some hallucinogenic toxin or a secret military program or something that causes the side effects of these visions and visuals and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then after spending a long time on the ranch, I lived on the ranch for about 4 months last summer, and I got to tell you, none of those things turned out to be the case, and it turned out that it is something real. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting thing about the paranormal. I personally lived in a haunted house, and, you know, it's so hard for people to imagine that there are other things in this world that can't be explained by science, because science is, you know, statistics, it's cold, hard facts. And with the paranormal, it is hard sometimes to kind of nail down those statistics and facts because there's not an exact science to it yet. So it's really interesting to have someone like yourself who, you know, works in the field of, you know, being able to solve these mysteries, kind of go into a field where it's much harder to actually kind of figure out what's going on.
Well, you see, that's actually a misconception that public scientists and the general scientific community have for some reason accepted and perpetuated that there's no that you know paranormal isn't an exact science or what. There's no such thing as an exact science, and any scientist that tells you there is doesn't know what he's talking about. And so these strange high strangeness things like at Skinwalker Ranch or other places, if you follow the scientific method and you and follow credible approaches to it, then you should be able to find things that you can demonstrate and recreate and show that things are or are not real. And I'm telling you, that's the approach we've taken at Skinwalker Ranch, and we are finding and getting evidence scientifically repeatable that there's some phenomena out there that, as of yet, mainstream science has yet to uncover.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing, you know, just what, you know, how much has been kind of discovered on this planet, but so much has been left undiscovered. And I just think it's so amazing. That's part of the reason why I love the paranormal, is trying to discover the unknowns of it and figure out what's really going on. And I know a lot of people believe that, you know, ghosts and things along the lines of that in the field are energy-based. You worked on energy weapon systems directly out of high school. With your knowledge and background with that, do you think that there is a correlation between the belief ghosts and spirits are energy?
So I don't really know about what people's experience with what they are calling a ghost or is. I can give you my own personal sort of philosophy or theology, is that, you know, our mind, our soul, or whatever you want to call it, is information.
Mm-hmm.
And that information is somewhere. Is it in our bodies and brains, or is our bodies and brains just sort of a receiver or transceiver for that information, and the information is somewhere else? Sort of like, you know, your avatar in Minecraft, while it does everything in the Minecraft universe that you tell it to, the actual mind is out here holding the controller in a different universe. You know, maybe that information, which some people correlate as energy, that information could be what people are getting a glimpse of somehow or other. And I don't know the answer to that, but that's, there's a place for it in modern science if we will just look at it from an open mind and with a wide field of view.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I think there's a science to pretty much everything in this world. It's just trying to figure out where exactly, you know, the specific topic fits into the science field, you know, which specific category.
Yeah, well, so that's the whole point of science, is to understand the universe that we live in. And so if it exists in the universe, then it has some sort of explanation. And it is possible that the explanation is something outside of the universe that we've yet to create even vocabulary for.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you said you spent 4 months at Skinwalker Ranch living there. How are you able to, you know, work at Skinwalker Ranch, go and, you know, do your scientific work and balanced family life. What is that like for you?
Yeah, well, that was, I wouldn't call it a sacrifice because it was such an opportunity, but it was a sacrifice for my family. I mean, I was gone. I would leave on Sunday night, and I would get out to the ranch about 2, 3 a.m. Monday morning, and then we would start work at 8 to 9 a.m. on Monday morning, and we'd work pretty much way past dark until Thursday night, and then I would take a red-eye flight from Salt Lake City Thursday night and fly home, and I would get one day in my office on Friday and spend the weekend with my family and then repeat it again on Sunday night, and I did that for 4 months. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep during that time frame, but it was well worth it from the experience and the results that we got.
And I know at Skinwalker Ranch, a lot of the people have known each other for many, many years. And with Mr. Fugel, you know, being a part of it, what is it like, you know, working together and kind of the camaraderie? Is it, you know, a very tight-knit group of people with all the shared experiences that not everyone can relate to?
I don't know. I guess it is something that's hard to relate to people if they haven't experienced it. And most of the people there on the ranch, they are locals and they're high school buddies of Brandon's in some form or fashion, or one of them was a scientist that worked on it back during the Bigelow era and then worked with Tom Winterton, who is the ranch manager or superintendent, I guess is what he calls himself, the guy who fixes everything. And Tom's the one who got really injured pretty bad on the ranch. And Dr. Sagala, Jim Sagala, was one member of the team that investigated Tom's injury. And then there's Dragon, Bryant Arnold, who's the security guy, and he's in charge of security and safety for the ranch. And he was Brandon's high school buddy. But and then there's Jim Morse, who is the ranch manager, who and the liaison to the local natives. He knows everybody around. And then Eric Bard is a physicist and engineer there from Salt Lake City as well. And they've all known each other now for several years. And so when I came in last year, after Brandon invited me to come in, at first I wasn't sure what to think about all of them. I thought they were all crazy. And I even told them. I thought they were a little bit batty. And then there's a period about a month later when an experience happened to me in the middle of the woods by Homestead 2. I come out of the woods and I looked at Dragon and I told him, I said, I think I'm just as crazy as you guys. And that's kind of the way it ends up once you get exposed to the place.
Yeah. Definitely, I can relate to that. You know, I went to Catholic school growing up, and I was in the paranormal at a very young age, and people looked at me very weird because, you know, that wasn't really what fit into the belief system at that point in time in our education. And so, you know, people don't really understand it unless you kind of experience it yourself. But then as you get older, more people start having experiences, and they're like, I see what you were saying before.
Yeah, that coming from a religious school that practices both exorcisms and partaking in the transfer of water to wine and all sorts of other mystical, magical things that that are paranormal.
Yeah, I mean, true. I mean, that wasn't really, like, discussed at the school, so I think that's part of it, too. That side of it is more... You know about it, but you don't really hear about it at the school. I mean, I don't think they really want to talk about exorcism with, like, second graders. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, with your research and everything, and you saying that the military actually worked there before, were you able to actually look at any of the documents and any of the research that they had done prior, or are you kind of just starting from scratch with what the previous scientists had worked on post-military?
Other than some conversations with some of the previous scientists that have worked out there, in fact, they're to my knowledge and to the investigation that I've been able to do, there were no military documents created. They were all proprietary documents to Bigelow Aerospace, which means Bigelow Aerospace owns those documents, and he will not release them. So nobody other than the few people that work for Bigelow has ever seen the results of what Bigelow did. So he could make stuff up or not, and we would never know. And so that's why we're documenting everything and showing everything to the public as we uncover it.
Yeah, having that transparency to, you know, kind of share your findings with everyone, which is, you know, similar to what happened with the Curse of Oak Island. You know, so many people had done it beforehand, but now everyone is actually getting to see the process. And I know there's so many great discoveries, you know, being found on Oak Island. What has been kind of your favorite finding so far at Skinwalker Ranch? I know that there are some unaired episodes upcoming, so with as much as you can say.
Yeah, well, so I don't want to give any spoilers, but I'm going to tell you this week's episode, episode 4, it was the most shocking, surprising, and unbelievable experience I think I've ever had in my life, and it will change the way that everyone on the planet looks at this particular phenomena, because as far as I'm concerned, we've got 100% scientific proof of there being a real phenomena.
Well, that's amazing. I can't wait for, you know, the audience to be able to see your upcoming findings. It's great work that you're doing, because, you know, there are so many places that just have no explanation. So, you know, being able to find that, I think, is helpful in a lot of ways. You know, with the uncertainty in the world right now, it's good to just see, you know, even in different aspects of life, you know, things being discovered and kind of worked on.
Yeah, so that's part of, you know, the uncovering of the universe and the understanding of life and why we're here and all that, is to look into these things where we think there are big unknowns and see if we can at least stick our nose under the tent and get a little taste of what's really in there. And I think that's what we're doing, and what people are beginning to see on each of these episodes. And every episode is just as big or bigger than the next. We uncovered something something as exciting or scary or unexplainable. And all the way up until the last second of the last episode of this season, there are things that we just simply could not explain that continued to occur, and we continued to capture them with multiple scientific instruments.
Well, that's definitely incredible. And, you know, with Skinwalker Ranch being an anomaly, when you first came in there, I know that there's still currently airing episodes, so you can't reveal everything, but was there a specific location on the ranch that kind of made you scratch your head the most or made you want to look into more, a specific location?
Well, yeah, so a lot of the folklore stories and campfire tales about Skinwalker Ranch center around a spot on the ranch called Homestead 2. And that was built by the Myers family back in the very early, I think it was like 1905 or something like that, a long time ago. And almost everybody who's been there has some sort of strange experience at Homestead 2, including myself. And and so we did a lot of work there, because if it's a hot spot, that's where you go, right? You look and see if you can find something there. But that being said, the entire ranch, the entire Uinta Basin for that matter, I believe is a hot spot for these phenomena to occur. And I'm not exactly sure why Homestead 2 seems to be a hot spot for it, but we hopefully will uncover that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing, you know, at certain locations. Like when I've investigated Queen Mary down in Long Beach, you know, the whole ship is haunted, but there's certain areas that seem to be more active than others. And it's just, you know, kind of trying to figure out why is that specific location so much more active in an entire location that is active itself.
Well, the question you have to ask when you look at things like that, and I've never investigated haunted places or anything like that, and I'm not so sure what I think about them, but people bring in there with them their own perceptions and thoughts and sort of personal backstory as to what they think is there. And in a lot of cases, the universe lets us find what we're looking for. And so if you go into a place looking for something spooky and crazy, you might find the spooky and crazy thing. And so that's why one of the things that we are doing our best not to do is going with particular perceptions, whether we think, okay, it's aliens or it's, you know, multiverse creatures or it's demons or whatever. We're just going in there looking to see if a phenomena occurs and can we measure that phenomena with scientific instruments.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, a self-serving bias where you believe something, so you find ways to make it true.
Right, and that is, we're doing our best, and of course, humans can't be perfect in that, but we are doing our best in trying not to bring in personal biases and perceptions, and that's why we're trying to measure everything with scientific instruments, as opposed to, number one, eyewitness accounts are not scientific evidence. Eyewitness accounts are only data that suggest a place where you should do experimentation with repeatable scientific instrumentation. And so that's one of the things, the biggest problems I've always had with paranormal, UFO, whatever, reporting, and the community is they think, well, it's evidence in a court of law. Well, court of law doesn't have to be 100% accurate and repeatable. They're beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that's a lot different than scientific evidence. So we have to find ways to take unbiased equipment to make measurements.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's the hard part about the paranormal is, you know, when you experience something, you know, being able to validate that is another thing. And I think that's the hardest part of it all is you can have an experience at any time, but actually being able to validate it and prove that that actually happened is the hardest part, you know, because you're not recording, you know, for evidence at every moment of the day, but activity can happen at any place, whether there's an anomaly like Skinwalker Ranch or an actual haunting, you know, like at the Queen Mary.
Yeah, so I can tell you, even when you do that, sometimes it doesn't work. We always had cameras and sound equipment and scientific equipment running 24/7 the entire time. And somehow or other, in some cases, when some of us would have experiences, all of the other equipment would shut down. And so, and that's something that all we can say is you got to take our word for it, and we can't prove anything except that for a particular period of time, the scientific equipment stopped. And we can't, we don't know why it stopped. Did it just go, would it malfunction? Is there somebody sneaking around, flipping it off and not telling us, you know, whatever. But those are the kinds of things that make you kind of pull at your hair and go, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, the battery's draining, you know what happened, but the battery's drained. You can't actually capture anything after that, so it's always, you know, a push and pull trying to figure out things when there's unexplainable stuff happening, but
I will tell you, the fact that you brought up the batteries thing, that's an interesting phenomena that we would go in from having 100% charged cell phones, instruments, whatever, within a minute, they'd be drained completely. My iPhone was brand new, and when I first got out there, and I would charge it overnight, get up that morning, I'd get out into the field, I'd look, it'd be 99% charged, and then something would happen, and 30 seconds later, it'd be 5%. And we have no idea why it's doing that or what's causing that. And a lot of times, it would drain it all the way down to where it would shut itself off. We had that happen to car batteries, to our UTV batteries, to our instruments, everything. It's the strangest phenomenon. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that's, you know, the interesting thing that why people partially think that ghosts are energy, because all the energy just gets, you know, sucked away. So they think that, you know, the spirits might actually draw from that. But, you know, I was at a cemetery in Santa Paula, California, and our car, the locks just started going up and down rapidly. The lights started flashing. And My dad thought I was pumping the brakes. I thought he was pushing on the keys, and no one had done anything. When we got back to our home, we actually had to have the car computer recalibrated, and we still can't explain why that happened to this day.
Yeah, we've had similar instances like that at Skinwalker Ranch where that's happened to vehicles and other equipment, where the windows will roll themselves down, or the headlights will turn on and off, or in some cases, it's like we were hit by an EMP where everything goes on all at once and then it blows. There are just sorts of strange electromagnetic phenomena like that that we can't seem to find a source for. And there has to be one. We just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible when you see things like that because it is so unexplainable. But you know that there has to be something that's causing it. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We're going to be returning at the late edition of the show. We have a few minutes remaining, but she has some quick questions for Dr. Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
I want to thank Skinwalker Ranch owner Brandon Fugel for personally facilitating today's interview request and the History Network for making today's show possible. We're welcoming back into the show History Network's The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, featured host, investigator, astrophysicist, Dr. Travis Taylor. I'm trying to unmute everybody too right here. And so speaking of electrical anomalies, we're going to finish up the last few minutes here. So on Twitter, at history, at Travis S. Taylor 1, and for Dr. Taylor's sci-fi books, Baen.com. That's B-A-E-N. So Baen.com. And as I'm unmuting everybody as we speak, okay, Sophia, we have Dr. Taylor. Okay, we have you both back on. Thanks.
Well, I want to thank you again for coming on today, Doctor.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
So I actually have a question for my mom. She absolutely loves The Secret of Skinwalker herself. She is wondering if you have ever tried using EVPs at the ranch to see if you can capture any voices.
To see if we can capture any voices. Well, so we...
Like EVP?
Not to give too many spoilers away, but we do have experiences where people hear voices all the time, including myself, and we have all sorts of instruments trying to capture that. That's a difficult thing to be successful at because we're not sure the voices are actually audible or being projected into our heads.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, EVPs are, you know, it seems... for anyone who's listening into the know, electronic voice phenomenon, and it's very difficult because there's so many different classes of EVPs to, you know, grade A's, like the best you can possibly get, and then, you know, it's sometimes hard to decipher what they're saying, too, so sometimes you can hear someone talking but not know what is actually being said, and I think that's some of the hardest part about actually capturing EVP.
Yeah, I agree with that. In that, in some cases, we're not sure that if it could be another language, and it's something like, you know, the Jan Brady experience, where when she got braces, she was picking up AM radio stations in her head. Or is it actually some kind of acoustic phenomena in the environment, or what? But a lot of people have had that experience out there.
Gilligan, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so explainable and unexplainable at the same time, you know, and it's just amazing. I do know we're coming towards the end of the show, though, but I also know that besides your work on Skinwalker Ranch and your work as an astrophysicist, that you've also written some science fiction books. Can you tell us a little bit about those and where everyone can find them?
Oh, wow. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've written about, or co-authored one or the other, nearly 20 or so science fiction books. They're all hard science fiction and military science fiction. My main publisher is Bain Books, B-A-E-N Books. Just Google Bain or go to Bain.com, B-A-E-N.com. And those books are typically my best-selling series is based on a civil war 300 years from now where Mars just decides to secede from the United States of the solar system. And then I have other near-term sci-fi that happened like right now, hard science fiction, where people are inventing the first warp drive or trying to invent the first interstellar spacecraft or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's always a lot of high action and adventure. And that's as with all science fiction novels, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's great that you know, wrote these books. I know a lot of people love science fiction. The, you know, people who are gamers are absolutely excited over Cyberpunk 2077 coming up. So science fiction is huge, as always. And, yeah, I want to thank you for coming on today. Are there any upcoming interviews, events, or anything that you would like to mention? I know The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch is airing on History Channel right now.
Yeah, so they've got all sorts of things lined up for me to be doing radio shows, podcasts, that sort of thing. I have no idea when and where those are. But watch the show on Tuesday nights after Oak Island on History Channel. And that's, I mean, that's the big thing. You guys will be amazed as to what you see and to what we saw. And I can't express more than that I really want everybody to see this, because I think it'll change the way we think about the world.
Well, thank you for your work on Skinwalker Ranch and all your work in the science field. And thank you so much for coming on today. It's been great talking to you, Dr. Taylor. And, yeah, congratulations on the airing of Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you,
Dr. Taylor. Yeah, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Yeah, Dr. Taylor.
Oh, your audio is cutting out there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go ahead, Sophia.
I don't know that. Yeah, things haven't been really loading in the studio today. Not really for why. Text messages haven't been sending or anything. It's kind of weird. But I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. And I will talk to you guys again next week.
Yeah, and also, thanks, Sophia. And what we have, too, is a YouTube in-studio version of Sophia. And History Channel was kind enough to give us some graphics. So we'll have Sophia in studio, coupled with what we have for the YouTube version. We'll be composing that, editing that, and getting that out to you in the coming week. The archive show, it'll be available soon after this broadcast, as soon as that finishes loading too, at blogtalkradio.com/liveparanormal or on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. And everybody, for Dr. Taylor on Twitter @history, @TravisSTaylor1, and again for his sci-fi books, Bain.com, that's B-A-E-N.com, that's Bain.com as well. Next week we'll be taking all of your phone calls. We just had a shortened show today for our guest. Next week we are having Travel Channel Strange World Series host investigator Christopher Garitano returning to the program. He has some updates and announcements too as far as the Travel Channel Strange World Series. That's going to be next week, the 25th. Also, Detroit Paranormal Expedition's founder, Todd Bonner, will be returning to the program on May 30th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have guests securing their guest spots, too, at this time. So we'll be updating there on the fan page of the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Thank you, History Channel. Thank you, Brandon Fugel, for providing today's show and all the proper approvals and channel routes that have been taken for making today's show possible. Great show, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.